All right, guys, before we introduce our guest speakers, I just had a small thought here. I've been reading in Success Magazine for this last month, and just a real quick brief thought. Darren Hardy, in his introduction, he says, there's two ways that you can choose to be happy. So most people, guys, they base their happiness on how their day was, and they don't choose to be happy. Just whatever goes through the day dictates how they feel. And he says the first thing to do is think about all that you have to be grateful for. So as we drive to our church today, as we get in our cars, as we go in between appointments, think about the things that you're grateful for, whether they're from today or whether they're from yesterday or whether they're from a month ago. Think about the things that you have to be grateful for. And two, the second way to choose happiness, he says, the best way, in my opinion, is to do something to make someone else happy. The person who bestows happiness always gets much more in return. Just a quick thought before we start the conference call is that you can choose to be happy today. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce our first speaker. Our first speaker hails from Tifton, Georgia, and he's lived there for the past 7 years, Mr. Tim Van Sumeren. He's a husband to Stacy. He has two kids. He's a father to Connor, who's 8, and Tyler, that's 4. Prior to working with Family Heritage, he was in distribution. He managed a crew who loaded and unloaded trucks. In Tim's first year, he was the number 15 first-year agent in the history of Family Heritage. He finished 2010 as the number 4 sales agent and received the Pinnacle Circle Award. He finished 2011 as the number 11 sales agent and was a Centurion. And he's a 3-time I Dare You winner. So with that introduction, we want to welcome Tim Van Sumeren. Tim, you with us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Awesome. Cause if you're there, everybody, just put your phones on mute. Otherwise, I'm going to have to star 5 you here. Tim, just to start off, tell us a little bit about your first 12 months. Tim, by the way, wrote 19,000 plus units in his first 12 months in the business. So if you want to tell us about your first 12 months, your expectations, your struggles, what came easy, if you can kind of just give us a recap on that, Tim, if you can remember that far back.
Yeah, sure thing. Oddly enough, coming up on September will be 3 years. And it's flown by. It seems like it's been just a few months since I've started. But one of the things that for me I know was a key when I first started was this was not a I'm going to try it out and see if it works sort of a business. It was a this is going to work, and I just need to make sure I do the things that the successful people before me have done to make it work. So. It sounds sort of simplistic, and I think we all hear it fairly often, to just put the pressure on the system and to just do what you're taught in sales school. But for me, I kind of figured, if something's been in place, our sales system and cycle has been in place since, 1868 or what have you, I'm not going to be the one that's going to reinvent something better. So I just took a really simplistic approach to it. And I just looked at kind of the metrics of the business. And when I sat down with Vance Davenport and Rich Young, who were the guys that spotted my resume on CareerBuilder, they said, hey, if you just do average, if you kind of just do the basics and do the deal and you just average, this is how much you're going to make. And, and that, of course, was, 2.5 years ago. I figured I'll be able to pay all my bills, but I think with most people doing this, we shouldn't be just interested in paying our bills. We're in this to provide an awesome and safe and lucrative career or a future for ourselves. So I figured if I was just above average, I'd be doing pretty fantastic. So I know for me, my first year, I put in a lot of time and a lot of effort the first 6 months to really hone my skills, and it was not very many vacations at all. For the first 3 or 4 months, I worked 6 days a week. I worked Monday through Saturday, and if I was at my goals that I'd set for myself at the beginning of the week, I would cut out a little bit early on Saturday to spend some time with my family. But My goal, oddly enough, my first year, I was wanting to beat Jack Clark. I knew he was, a stud in the business. So, that was what I was shooting for, and I wanted to have a great first year. And so I really just concentrated on what I needed to do to make that happen. So, I don't know if that's too general of a recap, Ryan, but
No,
that's what I
that
kind of
works, and
saw
we
then.
can. That's perfect. Yeah, we can get a little more specific. Actually, I'll just go ahead and ask you then. What would if you could look back at those first 12 months? What were the top two reasons that you would pick for your success out of all those things you listed? What would be the top two things?
Well, I think for me too, and I speak about this pretty frequently to the folks I'm training too, it's just putting the basics of the system and putting the pressure on the system. For me, and I think we've probably all heard of this, but I put the 2 out of 3 principle in place, and the 2 out of 3 principle is I don't stop on a week or a day before I've done 2 of the 3 things. That's working 8 or more hours each day, doing at least 6 or more presentations, or protecting 1 or more families. So, I wouldn't stop until I've accomplished 2 of those things each day. And for me, that was definitely a building block and kind of the foundation for how I ran my business, particularly that first year, because it wasn't so much about, writing a policy every day or protecting a family every day. It was just putting the habits into place of running a business like a business. So that was probably the first thing. And then I'd say the second biggest thing was, and this is something I had a challenge a little bit at first, not because I didn't want to do it, but just it wasn't a habit for me, but just creating a weekly commitment plan. That was something that I had to train myself and make it a habit. But just planning my week out Sunday evening or early Monday morning, preferably Sunday evening, because that gives you time to clear your head. But just putting into place what your week is going to be like, and already making the decision before the week starts of when I was going to be working, when I was going to be doing the other activities, and with my family or church, what have you. So when I got up Monday morning, there was no decisions to be made whether I felt like going to work or not. That was kind of already set in place. And it just took a lot of emotional ups and downs out of this job, which we all can relate to, being at that point. So those were
Awesome.
probably the biggest things, man.
Awesome. Awesome. That's perfect. So I just want to get this straight, Tim. You basically wrote 19,000 plus units in your first year in sales by doing the 2 out of 3 principle and actually writing a weekly game plan. Those are the two most basic things.
Yep, definitely. And
Awesome. So
I
I
would just
hope
add
everybody.
one other. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tim.
I was just gonna say I really held true to the training, and I memorized the sales talk and the approach and the close, and I did that word for word. So I mean that's even more basic. But if we don't get the
Awesome.
basics, then you can't go any more technical. So.
Cool. I hope everybody either took a mental note or wrote that down. I know we hear these things a lot, but everybody that's successful generally does the same things. What we're taught: weekly game plan and the 2 out of 3 principle. Tim, another question. Two more questions here before I let you go. I know for a lot of us, when we have a good week or a good month or a good quarter, I know for myself included, seems like the next week sometimes isn't as great, because we're like, oh, we had such a great week, or we had such a great quarter, a great year, and we kind of slack off. What do you do to stay consistent? What do you do to keep producing at a high level?
Well, I just take each week at a time, and what's in the past is in the past. And I've seen kind of some of the ups and downs that people have had. They'll go out and write 1,500 units in a week, and then the next 3 weeks, they're either not producing at all, or they're kind of lackluster. And really, when you break it down, that 1,500 unit week or 1,000 unit week, if you don't do anything the next 2 or 3 weeks, that phenomenal week that could have really boosted your month or quarter or year turns into basically a 250 or 350 week, because you didn't do anything the next 3 weeks. So we always talk about in our group of just kind of riding that momentum and not dropping off after that, but really taking that and using that as kind of a motivation tool to keep pressing yourself forward. I think the other really basic thing is when I come back from a train more, I really just like to get back into the regular routine of, creating a weekly game plan and already setting in place what I know I should do for the next week, not necessarily what I feel like doing, because I'm, like you mentioned before on the beginning of the call, I've got a couple kids, wife, my family's the most important thing for me, and I would rather, hang out with them after being gone for a week. But, I generally try and plan my next week to green out as quickly as possible and then take the time that I've earned after the train more and really spend that time with my family. So it's really just kind of a matter of letting that great quarter or that great week motivate you to have a solid performance the next week. So
Awesome.
that's what I have.
Perfect, Tim. So taking each week at a time, just individually breaking it down.
Right.
Okay, cool. And my last question, and mute your phone, guys, if you're not. Last question, why are you still with Family Heritage going on 3 years? What's the real reason that you're with us?
Well, I really looked at the other options that were out there for me, and I want to do something that in less time than most people in America, I will be able to do the things that I really want to do with my life. This is one of my far-off goals, but I'd eventually like to open up a hunting camp or a hunting, I don't know if preserve is the right word, but something for underprivileged kids and teach and train kids that wouldn't normally have opportunities to do things like that, teach them outdoor skills, hunting and fishing, and kind of that's my passion is the outdoors. So eventually I want to have some land of my own that I kind of looked at other things that I could do that would enable me to, make those types of purchases in the future. And this is the best way to not only provide a substantial income right now, but for, provide that in the future too, without that affecting my family in a negative way. So it's pretty simple. I just want to work hard now so I can do the things that I feel like God's gifted me for or that's set me up for in the future. So.
Awesome. Perfect, Tim. That's what I wanted to hear, man. If you don't mind hanging around on the call in case somebody wants to ask some questions here at the end, we have one more speaker, and then we'll go from there. Thanks so
Yeah,
much.
sure. No problem. You're welcome.
All right, guys. Our last speaker, just want to say thanks to Tim real quick, but our last speaker, guys, is the exact opposite of Tim. So this is going to be a little different phone call. Tim had a really great start, and he's continued that start. He wrote a ton of units. Our second speaker is a guy that I recruited right after I started the business about almost a year ago. He came into the business, and I want you guys to listen to this. He sold about 1,000 units in his first 6 months total. Okay, so not much at all. But in the last few months, he's pretty much tripled that. He's written 3 times as much in the last few months, so he's starting to get the hang of it. And I just want to express my appreciation and gratitude that he's on this call with us. For a lot of people, it would be hard to talk about a failure. But I want to welcome Chris Dell to the phone call, and tell him that I appreciate him talking about this, and hopefully it can help people that are struggling right now or feel like maybe this isn't the right thing for them at the moment. Chris, are you there? Chris, you got to press *6. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Chris. So, Chris, I want you, just kind of like Tim, I want you to tell us about your first 6 months in the business, Chris.
Like you said, Ryan, my first 6 months was almost opposite of what Tim was. I felt like, well, when I first got out of sales school, I felt like I was going to sell the world. I was going to sell the world, come out. Over the next 6 months, I struggled. I went on vacation 2 weeks right after I got out of sales school. I wasn't around my team. I didn't focus on what was taught to me at sales school. The flexibility of the job allowed me to, if I didn't want to work this day or I didn't really focus on what I should be doing, and it just really set me back. I wasn't following what was taught to me by you and Jones, by you and George, and point blank, I just wasn't working.
Gotcha. Well, Chris, if you could pinpoint one or two things, I guess the same question I asked him, only the opposite. What were the major contributors to such a slow start?
It's kind of funny. You almost got four really good ones that just not putting the hours in, letting little things distract me every day in life. George Zimony would always say to me, you know, if I was at my previous job driving, you know, could I just not show up, or could I just not, you know, decide that, oh, today I'm just going to start at this time, and not running not being structured, having a schedule to follow, and following it, not following the guidelines that were actually taught to me in sales school. Probably the fourth one is not going over the material that is in the sales book, and helping you get to know how to combat the objections that you're going to get at the door. Just not really putting everything in that I've learned.
Perfect, Chris. So basically, I just want to recap here, guys, just a little bit before Chris goes on. Is for Tim, it sounded like the things that made him successful is that he followed the 2 out of 3 principle. He had a weekly game plan that he stuck to, and he memorized his sales talk. Those were his three basics. For Chris, it sounded like he just said the exact opposite. He didn't have a structure. He let little things distract him. He didn't go to work and do the 2 out of 3 principle, and it sounds like he didn't really follow the presentation that Family Heritage taught him. So difference in 19,000 units and 1,000 units. Just want to recap on that. So make a mental note of that. Chris, question number 3. Why are you still here? Why did you stay in the business? And since you are here, and since I know you a little bit, what was the changing point? Like, what made you really start focusing on making this a career? I think it's safe to say that most of us, Chris, if we would have written 1,000 units in a 6-month span, couldn't afford to be here, or just wouldn't be here. So I want to know, why are you here?
Well, it started out, first of all, I saw the opportunity. I saw the opportunity that Family Heritage provides, and I want the life that you can lead if you go to work. I realized that no matter what I did in life, you will always have the struggles. You'll have the tough times in the beginning. So it was just the determination that I'm going to stick it out. You know, I would look back at the 2 years before I came into Family Heritage. I was driving a dump truck. I had no significance in my life. I was often wondered, you know, what is my purpose here on earth? What am I supposed to do? And knowing that I can make a difference in someone's life now when tragedy happens, that's the huge part that's actually just motivating to keep me going. And often, you know, what a feeling of when you walk out of a person's house that was reluctant to let you in the first place, and then when you're leaving, they're giving you a hug and they're thanking you that you showed them this program that could have such an impact on their life if something devastating happens. The feeling, Ryan, is that it just keeps me going. This business actually makes me happy again. When you do what you're supposed to do, when you follow this structure, when you actually work, and when you focus and do what you're supposed to do, life is good. It makes you happy. It makes me want to put on Facebook, I love my clients. One of the things that your question you asked, what was my turning point? What changed everything? In December, going down to San Antonio was a huge turning point. The company one is awesome. It rewards everyone for the hard work that they put in. I spoke to as many people as I could, some of the seniors that have been here for 20 years. And one of the things that was really set into my heart is that no matter how long or how many years they've been here, everybody helped you. Everybody was encouraging you to You know, stick it out. This is what you're going to. You got to go through these trials. But one gentleman, we were at the football, and Rudy Siosa. Unbelievable. He sat there, and I was telling him how long I'd been in and what I've been doing. And he looked at me and goes, why are you still here? And we talked about the business and how long I was doing it. And the next thing, you know, he's like, get back into your basics. Go back. Study what you've been taught. Look at everything. Get back into why you're here. And I was selling probably one to two sales a week, thinking, you know, okay. But the one thing that Rudy had told me is focus on your basics, get back into it, and things will start coming around. And I started going out. I started watching the videos, getting back into on our business, and realizing that the more I start and structure it, the more things will start coming around.
Perfect. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and to this day, I can look back at the numbers, and when you put the work in, and you look back, and you can see your numbers, as opposed to when you let everyday life, or if you don't structure, just like Tim said, if you don't put it in front of you, and you don't have your schedule, and you just let day-to-day things come up, you can see your numbers.
Perfect. Well, Chris, we're about out of time, so just one quick 30-second question here. What's the difference now for you between a good week and a bad week? What would be the biggest difference?
The biggest thing, Ryan, is not letting life get in the way, staying on focus, making a plan, seeing the people that you need to, you know, seeing the people, ending the week no matter what your numbers are, but just getting out there and doing the hours.
Awesome. So basically just working.
Just working, yep.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, we're about out of time. So I hope I know this has been a little different of a conference call, somebody that was really successful, somebody that hasn't been as successful. But I hope it connects to everybody on the call. We're all at different points in our career, whether we just started and we're off to a great, phenomenal start like Tim. The challenge is to keep that start rolling, to stay consistent, like Larry says. If you're off to a slow start or you're in a mid-year slump, or you've been in the business for a while and you just kind of evened out, the challenge is putting in the work and going out and doing what you're capable of. And one thing that I heard both these guys say is that they're happy, that they're happy with the job now because they work and they've got a future to look forward to. So I hope it hit everybody on the phone call. I'm going to open it up for 1 minute here or 2 minutes to anybody that wants to ask Chris or Tim a question. So if you do, just *6 your phone. Come on in and we'll take a question or two. Anybody? All right. Well, we will we'll wrap this call up. Just want to shoot out a big thanks to Chris and Tim and say thanks for your time, guys. We appreciate your advice, and we hope to hear from everybody again. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Chris.